And aloha, Cindy Palos here with you. This is the Travel Angel Show, and I have such excitement. Today's going to be a fabulous show. My co-host here is Jerry Downer from Glahani Travel. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Cindy.
And a special guest in the studio, Mayor Alan Arakawa. Aloha, Mayor.
Good afternoon, Cindy.
It's
good
so strange to see you in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's usually Thursday mornings,
I know.
Bright and early.
But it's a pleasure to have you here. You know, we've been doing this show for a while. We've talked about a lot of great destinations. We always talk about great deals. But today's show is a special day. It's going to be our day to honor Maui. And, you know, it's really difficult sometimes to appreciate our perspective from the outside of the world. And I know, Mayor, you always get to because you travel around the world and you're going so many places. You know how much people love Maui. I mean, you always say at the end of your show, we've got, when you do this show on Thursday morning, you say,
we've got the best place in the world to live.
And that is proven true by many other people beside you just saying it. In fact, Condé Nast is going to be calling in a minute. Condé Nast voted Maui best island in the world every year since 1994. That's huge.
And Condé Nast is the largest traveler's magazine with the broadest perspective.
Absolutely. So. And on top of that, TripAdvisor called a couple weeks ago, and TripAdvisor called and said, you know, Kaanapali Beach was voted the very best beach in the United States out of a lot of beaches that got voted on. And so that was very cool. So we've got a great interview coming up with one of the persons who founded TripAdvisor in 2003 in a little room above her garage with a friend. And now, you know, it just takes a good idea and a good dream, right?
That's
and
right.
Persistence and hard work to make that dream come true.
That's true.
None of these dreams ever come true unless somebody's willing to do a lot of the work and put in countless hours that most people discount and just say, you know, you got lucky.
No. Well, you found that was true with Larry Ellison started.
That's true with just about everybody that's really made their mark in the world.
Mm-hmm. So
they work very hard at it.
And it's a lot of work keeping a place like this so wonderful. So this is a show dedicated just to that, how wonderful Maui really is, and that all the hard work everyone puts in to making this a great place, including the government, including all the people in the industry, whether it be tourism, hotels, restaurants, the people in charge of the beaches, recreation.
Well, the Condé Nast actually is talking about the desirability of a location. So these are people that are traveling, and they're voting on what is the most desirable place to go for a number of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
TripAdvisor may be looking at what are the best beaches,
mm-hmm.
and we have some of the best beaches any place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just the beach. It's not just the hotel. It's not just the activities. It's the combination of all the above, plus a lot more. It's the personality of the community,
mm-hmm.
and how much they welcome people. It's the willingness for storekeepers to be there and to be able to have product lines that people can shop and be able to, you know, do the women's sports.
But
it's more aggressive than men's sports.
And I was on the phone with the Maui Wedding Association this morning talking about the state of the wedding business, and they said, you know what's happening? A lot of people are now coming from Korea to have weddings, and they're bringing all their friends. And I thought, the mayor went to Korea and laid the groundwork for that.
We've been working very hard to lay the groundwork for the Asian Pacific area to come to Maui to be able to try and offset some of the economic losses we're going to have from travelers that are going to be going through the country's economic setbacks.
I think we've got John. Aloha, is this John?
Yeah. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. Now, John Newton is, I guess you're in charge of all those surveys that Condé Nast Traveler does, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in our service and surveys department. So Reader's Choice is our biggest survey of 47,000 readers that we conduct each year. And actually, we're conducting it right now through the end of April.
And it's really an interesting survey, and it's not just asking one thing. You ask a combination of questions. What are some of the questions you ask people to determine what the best island in the world is?
Well, the criteria, the survey includes a number of different categories, not just islands, but cities, airlines, hotels. But for islands, the criteria that we ask people to think about are the friendliness, ambiance, beaches, activities, lodging, restaurant, and scenery. So there's seven different criteria that we ask people to evaluate each island on.
So each category has to do pretty well to actually get up there in the top realm, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of why Maui is at the top of our list and has been for, you know, since the very beginning of the poll, which was more than two decades ago. Because it is one of the islands which consistently does well in beaches, activities, lodging. So it consistently wins overall on our survey. But then also within specific criteria, it's either at the very top or near the top.
Well, we have some wonderful guests in the studio. Mayor Alan Arakawa's here, and he's so happy to be able to connect with actually a person behind Condé Nast Traveler. And we've got Jerry Downer from Klahani Travel, who's been doing travel agency work here on the islands for over 30 years, and the communication director for County of Maui, Rod Anton. So we're all sitting here listening to you, finding out, you know, your perspective, because this is so valuable. We were just saying, the mayor and I were just talking here about what's really important for a place that really counts on tourism, what's important and how we keep that wonderful status of what you were just going over. So I was telling the mayor about something, and I was going to get the details. When we were talking on the phone last week, you mentioned you have a contest. And in that contest, I think you said it goes on for 3 months, or is it all year?
The sweepstakes coincides with the period when we're promoting the survey most heavily. So last year's sweepstakes was from February to the end of April, and one of the prizes was a trip to any place in the world, any city or island, which won a spot on our Reader's Choice Awards. And I'm not sure that I can reveal her name, but one of the three winners, actually I can because we published it in our current issue, Cindy Sanowski, was our third, the winner of the prize to any island or city named in Reader's Choice, and she chose to go to Maui. And she's actually at the Four Seasons as we speak.
Oh, we got to go, say hi to her.
I think that says something, that was the place that has been on her list of where she wanted to go, and with an all-expenses-paid trip, Maui's where she decided to head to. So.
That's nice to hear, Mayor.
Well, that's great. I was on the East Coast about a month ago, and freezing cold, and I can understand why anybody up there would want to come to Maui, where we have tropical weather year-round.
And the Four Seasons is nice.
Well, you know, we're talking about destinations.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that traditionally, destinations trend. And what happens is you have a very popular destination because it's got something catchy that people want to go and see. Destinations tend to allow that catchiness to stagnate and to be able to deteriorate. One of the beauties of what we try to do, and you'll notice this, almost every hotel on Maui has upgraded, even during the downturn in the economy. We're constantly looking for new types of activities, new things that will interest people. And we're also trying to make sure that we have developed better shopping areas so that, you know, when we poll and people say, well, you know, one of the things lacking is shopping. And so we have to be able to develop what people are desiring at the time. And a lot of these things trend. So we have to be able to adjust. And you just cannot have one or two kind of activities. We literally have dozens and dozens of different types of activities, everything from being dragged behind a boat to be parasailing, or going up into the mountains and going hiking, or taking a downhill bicycle tour, or being underwater in a submarine. I mean, there are literally dozens and dozens of different types of activity that are very, very different.
And you got to make sure always, right? I guess, I don't know if you do demographics as well, but it's interesting because, of course, the demographics are changing. We're seeing a lot more families come. Their whole families come now,
right,
too.
And every place, every destination, when we start to market, every group has different things that they really want to be able to see in a destination. The Korean group that we're talking about, a lot of them are coming here because this is an ideal wedding scenario. And in order for us to be able to get them to stay longer times, we're going to have to start doing things like bringing in people that can speak Korean and getting more interpreters out there and being able to develop within our community more bases where they can actually go out and do things where people understand what they're saying. This is true with all the destinations that you're trying to develop them. You have to be able to adjust to what the tourists that are coming in are going to want to demand.
But, you know, it's interesting, John. Condé Nast Traveler is really a beautiful magazine. I mean, it's beautifully done. I enjoy reading it. It's actually one of the kind of magazines that I will keep around and I don't throw out. Sometimes a year later, there I have them piled up on my coffee table because it's just nice to go back and look. But it's interesting how we think. I thought, you know, at times I thought, wow, it'd be really cool to work for as a travel journalist and you get to travel anywhere in the world and they pay for you to go there. But I noticed in this last issue, you had something very funny. It was an audit of one of your journalists and how much he had to spend to do an article, because you don't let people do trades for their work. You make sure your journalists and the information you get is actually very, very clean and not paid for, right? Or done as a trade.
Yeah, right. We don't accept press trips or discounted travel arrangements, and there are occasional exceptions when if there's an event that for some reason a traveler can't, or someone from the magazine can't go there anonymously. Generally, we're traveling incognito and with the magazine covering all the expenses, and so that ideally our editors and reporters experience travel exactly as our readers experience it.
So they don't even check into the hotel and say, I'm working for Condé Nast Traveler. they gotta keep a very low profile, right?
Yeah. And every time I've traveled for the magazine, we are, not announcing ourselves and just experiencing hotels, like I said, just like our readers experience them. So
what do you? Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, it's expensive, and I appreciate a lot of magazines can do it, but I do think it's one of the things which sets Traveler apart is that we are able to afford it. So,
what do you think is your demographic? Because it's interesting, because I see that basically you kind of still have that wonderful feeling that you can fulfill a fantasy, and you have a certain mystique that you project about places that people want to capture, and it's an interesting thing. You know what I'm saying? How do you realize and capture that dream of you're going to go to paradise and you're going to feel good in paradise?
Right. Regarding our demographic, the most of straightforward, mundane answer is we know it's a very affluent market or demographic. It's slightly older than other Condé Nast magazines, which makes sense that a lot of retirees and skews our demographic older, slightly more women than men. But I think what the mayor was saying before about destinations having to appeal in all these sorts of different ways is true of Traveler as well, that as a magazine, we're sometimes having to appeal to very adventurous travelers who are looking to go biking around an island in one article, and then in the next article hopefully reach the people who are more interested in museum hopping, and the next article's people who travel for food. So people's motivations for travel are all over the place, and we have to find a way to put together a magazine which hits a lot of different notes each month with different destinations.
Yeah, and it really is important. When we went to Korea, we found that most of the Korean tourists, they're not here for the beaches. They actually like to go hiking in the mountains and be able to do a lot of walking and exploring.
I wouldn't guess that.
So sometimes what we think is the most attractive part of what we do as a tourist base is not really what it's going to be attracting the new tourists here. So it's very, you've got to keep on top of it. Otherwise, things are going to change on you considerably. And food is another area. Alternative energies is something that's drawing a lot of attention now. As we're going more and more to being independent from alternative energies, there are a lot of people that are coming here just to be able to study what we're trying to do.
Really?
And because there, many of the countries are, especially the island countries, are having to change what they're doing because they're seeing the same increasing prices in oil, and they're seeing their economies being affected very adversely by some of these big trends in costs. And they're looking to see what is it that other places do. Most of my traveling was primarily to be able to attract the new business, but also to see what kind of things that they have. And it's amazing how much you can learn by going to other countries. So there are a lot of professionals that are going around just looking at what we have just to be able to take it back and be able to incorporate it within their structure. Why pay for something other people have made mistakes to get to when you can go out there, observe it, and learn from those mistakes without the cost?
And it is interesting. There is that wonderful aloha spirit that is present, and that is something that we really take seriously here, John. I know you said you haven't been here since you've been 13, but you've got to come back out. But, I mean, there really, that's something that lives, that and a genuineness, I think, of the people that that are really usually very helpful here.
That is the most important aspect of what attracts tourists to our community. And that is the ability to be able to have a real wide blend of different nationalities, different cultures, working together in a very small community. And when I say working together, I mean intimately working together in a very small community, whereby you're seeing a whole lot of different traditions. You're seeing a whole lot of what the world has got to be able to meld to. You know, when we talk about integration, usually they're talking about black and white and on the mainland. Here we're talking about everybody worldwide.
Yes, it's true. It is really true. It's a little mix, a poi mix, a little bit of everything, a poi dog.
this is mixing the communities in steroids.
It is. But, you know, it's funny, John. The mayor last week was, I think it was 2 weeks ago, you got to meet with Larry Ellison.
Yes, I did.
And talk about mystique. Just the name Larry has this buzz on it, you know.
But at the same time, you know, if we start looking at all of the people that have done things in the computer world, we have quite a few that are on Maui.
Yeah.
And this is not new. He just happens to be a little bit more prosperous than a lot of them.
Bill Gates got married on Lanai.
Bill Gates was here, and the former owner of Lanai, Murdoch. He's no slouch either.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a lot of very, very wealthy people that currently live in our community and or reside in our community part-time. So just because Larry happens to be in the top four, it really doesn't make that much difference in how we have to deal with them.
I think that part of it might be the mystique, and you might jump in, John, what you think, but it's kind of like just when we hear that someone bought an island and is going to redevelop, and he just bought the airlines. I guess for us, it's for the average person, we hear about that, and we go, wow, and you can really buy an island and buy airlines and create from scratch. I mean, I guess he's going to redo all of Lanai, a lot of things in Lanai, right?
Well, but you think Lanai has a population a little over 3,000. When the company that sold the Lahaina Sugar Cane Company, the Pioneer Mill, that whole area, that was a much bigger economic proposition. When we talk about people that are doing the Wailuku Sugar and all their properties, that's a bigger proposition. And when you look at Kauai and you look at the Big Island and Oahu, when the cane companies went out of business, those are much, much bigger propositions. Larry has a pizzazz because of what he's doing with a smaller community. It has having a wider effect directly on that community. But on the greater communities within the state and within Maui County, some of these other companies spent a lot more, and the impact was a lot greater.
You know, it is interesting, John, that what you get when you're living here, and I find, and I don't know if you ever keep statistics, but we find that a lot of travelers have now come here and continue to come back, which is also what we were saying, how we have to continue to improve. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty interesting because, I mean, you know, a long time ago, it's like, oh, you go to Oahu, and then after you've been to Oahu, your next trip, maybe you go to Maui. But now we're seeing some of the figures here, right, for tourism, mm-hmm. showing Maui getting the top visitor destination.
Well, I think what is happening, and this is my perspective, Oahu is getting to be an old community. It's pretty much built out close to the maximum it can. And you're not going to see Waikiki doubling the capacity. You're not going to be able to see a whole lot of new things going into the community there because it just costs too much and there's no room to expand. On the outer islands here, we'll use Maui, we're a little over 10% built out. We're a young community. We're able to welcome a lot of changes and a lot of diversity that Oahu cannot. So as an older community, they're actually starting to fall and slip further down the economic ladder, and the outer islands are going to be doing much, much better in the future. So the future is not on Oahu. The future is on the outer islands. And you can see that in the alternative energies. Oahu is going to be the consumer, but the production cannot be on Oahu. It's going to be Maui and the Big Island. It's going to be doing a lot of the production. The increase in medical service is not going to be on Oahu. It's going to be on Maui. And when you start looking at a lot of the difference in technologies and the advancements that are coming along, you're looking at the outer islands for those improvements.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we have the capability of doing it, because we're not, you know, 80% or so built out. And as we look at the desirability, you see one big city, you see them all. I mean, mm-hmm. essentially, Honolulu is a big city.
Yeah.
And if you like city life, that's fine. But if you want to be able to expand your businesses, you want to be able to incorporate new concepts into the community, you want to actually be able to do what Larry Ellison is doing and saying, I can affect the whole community and I can make the quality of life so much better for every one of my employees, for everyone who's going to be there. On Maui, you know, you come in as a business, you can affect a lot of people very positively. That doesn't happen. That's not going to happen on Oahu.
Well, I want to thank John so much for calling. I've got an interview with TripAdvisor coming up. But, John, I have to say I also love the app. The Condé Nast Traveler app is wonderful. You know, it's really great. And online, people can really go and get some great stories, a lot of videos, a lot of interactivity. So, I mean, Condé Nast Traveler continues to grow. And what's the website for people to check everything out at?
CNTraveler.com, and I do hope people will go before April 30th, because if you want to vote for Maui or any hotels in Hawaii, this year's survey is up until April 30th, and then we tabulate the results for next year's Reader Choice Award. So if you go to CNTraveler.com, you'll see links to it, or the direct link is CNTraveler.com vote.
CNTraveler.com vote. Well, we've got a tradition to hold up here.
Yes, you do.
And John, you know, as somebody so significant in Condé Nast, it behooves you to come and look at the product that you're
promoting. I know, I've got to get back there.
So we leave that invitation open. Please come and visit.
Thank you very much.
And thanks so much for taking the time to call. And we look forward to connecting with Condé Nast Traveler often, because it really is inspiring. We get a great perspective from you. So thanks so much. And we appreciate all those surveys, too.
That's great. Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, it's been very interesting hearing this whole thing. I've got TripAdvisor standing by here, because we're just, you know, Maui's got, you know, I feel like Maui's at one of those parties where the Lays are piling up and piling up and piling up. And, you know, pretty soon you can just see the eyes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that, you know. And I just, before we go to TripAdvisor, it's funny because Jerry asked some of his listeners, some of his clients who come to Maui often what they liked about Maui. So this is kind of humorous, but why don't you share that?
There's quite a few different things here. The one I like best is that it's warm, sunny, and friendly,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Which I think is very, very important. And then some of the other ones, slower pace, Haleakala, flowers, that it's American, that it's exotic. And then the last one I got was girls in grass skirts, and I'm not quite sure where we find them anymore. But
I love that. I really do love that. It's just great. It's a little bit of everything for everyone, I guess, right?
I'm glad Jerry did the girls in grass. Rod would be jumping over his head. Oh, Mayor, you can't say that.
You mean your secretary. Grace doesn't wear a grass skirt while she's sitting there doing her work.
No, and she actually makes sure that I don't look at any of the girls in grass skirts
either. Well, we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come, and thank you, Rod, and thank you, Jerry. And we got Leslie Carlin. What a great woman. This is a woman who was there from the beginning with TripAdvisor. Very inspiring story, telling us about why Kaanapali Beach was voted best beach in the United States.